Some of those figures just being announced by the Health Minister as well, Mkhize, 4,996 cases, confirmed cases now confirmed in South Africa, 93 deaths. We are far from out of it. We are far from out of the tunnel. That is why we are still answering some of your questions with regards to COVID-19 and coronavirus. Mark van der Heuvel speaks for the Western Cape Health Department. Just this week, the Western Cape government has embarked on a massive community testing and screening initiative, particularly looking at communities that are in high risk. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. How has that screening and testing process been going? I know it's been only probably 2 days now, but what are some of the news that has come out of that?
Hey, Lester. Hey, thanks for having us. Yeah, first of all, I must thank all of the community members that participated through the screening and testing, because we have picked up that there are certain areas where people would not want to be screened, etc., specifically attached to the stigmatization aspect of it. But for those who have come forward, who have participated, in, we thank them. I saw figures earlier today about something like 20,000 people already being screened. And we've tested about, I'm just quickly getting my mind right, about 28,000 people since the first case were reported. So, I mean, 28,000 people we have been able to test, coupled with the 20-odd thousand that we have screened. So I do thank everybody that have come out and participated in it. Like you said earlier, Minister just announced the national figures. I mean, in the Western Cape, we have about 1,700 confirmed cases, and those are 1,700 people that we have been able to identify, been able to isolate, been able to treat, and provide assistance. So, yeah, it's a continuous effort, Lester.
Now, you mentioned the word isolation, and that is a word that has been used interchangeably with quarantine. Just what is the difference between isolation and quarantine? I know sometimes in the media we jumble the words together. Is there an actual difference?
Yeah, isolation is when you are actually infected, you are positive, you are a case. So for easier reference, the isolation, the I equals infection. Quarantine equals that you are somebody that's suspected to be infected, somebody that has come into close contact with a person who is confirmed to have been tested positive, or somebody who is awaiting their test results. Now, those test results take anything from 2 to 48 hours. So, yeah, there's a difference between them. So isolation is you are infected. Quarantine is you are suspected to be infected.
So if I do have to undergo isolation, would that have to be at a medical facility, or would that also mean I could do it just from home?
We advise people, if possible, to do it at home, because that's your comfort zone. That's where you feel safe. That's where you are familiar with your environment. So if you can do it at home, We encourage you to do so. If you are unable to do so based on a variety of circumstances, whether there are too many people in the household, whether you only have a single room, we do have isolation facilities where you can safely isolate. Mm-hmm. And then we encourage people to identify that and to communicate that to the healthcare worker, that if they are unable to safely quarantine or isolate at home, they need to inform the healthcare worker, who will then make the necessary referral to the nearest quarantine and isolation facility.
And a lot of this pertains to particularly people who live in high density areas, people who share a small flatlet or a small shack with the rest of their family. You want to get as many of those people out of those high density areas and take them to the isolation facilities that have been procured around the province.
That's correct. We want them to minimize the risk of infecting, transferring the virus to any other person in the household. If they are able to do so, we encourage them to wear a cloth mask, to practice social distancing by keeping 1.5 meters, washing your hands regularly, and if you can, use a separate bathroom. But if you can't, then we do have facilities available where you can safely isolate.
Last night on the show, we had the Human Sciences Research Council. They conducted a survey amongst 19,000 South Africans. That's quite a large sample. And according to them, many people are quite clued up about COVID-19. Many of them said that they knew the signs and the symptoms. But so many people just have very, very basic questions that are coming through our WhatsApp line. Craig is asking, just how long do I have to wait for a test? I see talks about test results be having a 24-hour turnaround time. Many people that I've spoken to say they've waited 2 or 3 days, and that could be a long time if you know you live in a house with quite a few people. Just how long does the testing process start?
Look, if the lab isn't backlogged, then it takes about 48 hours for those test results to come back. But irrespective if it is 2 hours to 48 hours or 3 days, we encourage those people that are awaiting their test results to quarantine at home. If they can't quarantine at home, then we do encourage them to speak to us so that we can get them into a safe quarantine facility.
Mark, just when exactly should you be going to seek help? I must admit, I am a bit of a hypochondriac. I'm a deep thinker, an overthinker. So every little sniffle, every little sore throat that I wake up with, I think to myself, do I have it? But at the same time, you don't want to overburden a healthcare system. You don't want to be that unnecessary caller to your doctor. Should you be taking chances? Should, with any symptom that you may, that may come over you, should you be approaching a healthcare facility?
Look, what we encourage people to do is, because the virus changed, the case definition changed from when it started to where we are now. Firstly, they only tested you if you traveled overseas to an area where the case was confirmed. However, we have now brought it down to if you have a sore throat, if you have a cough, if you have a fever, if you have difficulty in breathing, we encourage you to go to your local health facility or call them in advance, notify them that you have one of these symptoms, and they will then encourage you and advise you in terms of where to go and where to enter the facility with the necessary protection, like a mask and that type of thing. If you are uncertain in terms of whether or not you do meet the case definition or whether you need to be tested, we've got a self-risk assessment tool that's on our website, which people can answer 4 questions. That assessment will prompt them in terms of should they go for testing or should they quarantine and should they monitor themselves. So that's a useful tool to use in case they are unsure. But if you have any of those 4 symptoms, we would want people to go for testing. We would want people to present themselves, because that takes the risk away from further transmission and further infection.
We are speaking to Mark van der Heuvel. He speaks for the Western Cape Department of Health. We are still asking or answering your questions with regard to COVID-19 and coronavirus. And based on the responses in, or the questions in the WhatsApp line, Mark, there still seems to be quite a lot of people who still have unanswered questions. Do you think that the campaign around this has been far-reaching enough, or does everyone sort of respond to their own circumstances? Like you said, go to the website, the portal on the Western Cape government's website. I've been there, and I still have unanswered questions, and with all the variables that I clicked on, it referred me to go to call that number. An hour later, I'm feeling much better. But do you think people have absorbed the educational campaign about COVID-19?
It's difficult to say at this stage, but what I do know is that as part of our communication drive and our channels and mediums that we have used, there's also been a proactive research campaign attached to it so that we can pick up what are people saying, what are they feeling, which channels they want to use, what preferred mechanism they want to use. So that is built in into our communication and into our channels that we do communicate to people. But I can also say, because it's a changing virus, and we've seen this from the onset, people's expectations, people's concerns change from day to day. So our hotline that we've set up, that's specifically aimed at medical questions. So if people are unsure about the medical condition and whether or not they do meet it and do need to go for testing, we've got that dedicated hotline that people can phone to just allay or to confirm their suspicions or to just give them some information around the virus and around their medical condition in the relation to the virus. So that's an avenue that people can explore, should explore, and we would want them, if they are unsure, to phone our hotline and get the information. Because what happens is they will speak to a clinical professional, a medical doctor, trained in this field to give them advice. So instead of you going to a doctor physically, you can phone, and on the other side, you can be guaranteed there will be a doctor that answers your call. Mm.
Joan has asked this question, but some infected people show no symptoms. How does screening help other than lessen high risk?
Yes. Some people do show no symptoms. They are asymptomatic, and that's why if we screen somebody and we detect that somebody may go into the field of being confirmed positive, we ask that person to quarantine at home and to monitor themselves. And if they do show symptoms, because that's when you can actually pinpoint that it is actually COVID-19, we then ask that person to make contact with either the hotline or with the local facility so that we can then provide the necessary medical assistive treatment, because there's no treatment available at this stage. There's no vaccine, etc. So what we do is we provide assistive treatment to them. So we encourage them, if they are asymptomatic, they don't have symptoms, we encourage them to quarantine at home, and then should they develop symptoms, to make contact with us.
Mark, I was asked this by a very, very clever 11-year-old. She asked me, you could have COVID-19, present no symptoms, recovered, and you are done. Technically, is that possible?
Yes, it is. It is, because it depends on your health risk. It depends on your age. It depends on your medical history. So if you are a 10 or 11-year-old, chances are that you don't have any comorbidity issues. You would have a normal fever, a normal flu-like symptoms that present themselves.
Which we often just treat with a little cough syrup or Panada, just to lower those symptoms.
Exactly. So you would not make the connection that it could actually be COVID-19, because it's a new strain of the virus that's only just now come in. But if you've gotten used to flu-like symptoms and you treat it as a normal flu, chances are you will not suspect that it is COVID-19, but you can only confirm that if it has been tested.
And the danger of that is if you feel it's just a sniffle, it's maybe a slight cold, you then have the chance of transmitting it to other people. You don't keep that distance as if you were aware of any of the more severe symptoms, and that is why we still need to maintain a good proper physical distance from other people.
Correct. And going forward, that's going to become the norm. Whether it is just a normal flu, whether it's COVID-19, whether it's a different type of infectious disease, the norm would be to keep a distance. And if you are unwell, stay at home. If you are sick, don't go to work. That's just going to become the norm. So that social distancing aspect is going to come more and more to the fore as we go forward.
Byron on the WhatsApp line says, good evening. Recent reports of an employee at a local retail store with confirmed coronavirus. Practically the next day, the stores were open for trade. My question, Byron says, what is the protocol and timeline for decontamination of millions of products before stores open safely for trading? Thanks, Byron.
I got you. Byron, just to answer you, that whenever a store has a confirmed case, it's immediately shut down so that decontamination can take place of the store. Those shift employees that were on shift at that time need to be screened and, if need be, tested. And then they can open the following day, amidst that it has been decontaminated. The shift members on duty were screened and tested, and it opens with a new shift. So the same shift do not have to go back to duty.
Mark Funder here for, he speaks for the Western Cape Health Department. Next week, someone from the department will be on air with us, still answering your questions. There are still so many burning issues, so many people who want to be filled with knowledge. We'll have someone back from the Health Department on air with us next week.